Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a friend.
Our text today is 1 Samuel chapter 27, part of 28, and part of 29. I know that's a lot, but what is involved here is that David steps out from underneath the protective hand of God. And what he does, just by way of summary, is that he goes to the land of the Philistines. In 1 Samuel chapter 27 and verse 1, the Bible says, David said in his heart, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. There is nothing better for me than that I should speedily escape into the land of the Philistines, and Saul shall despair of me to seek me any more in any coast of Israel, so shall I escape out of his hand. In other words, what happened is that David, all the way up until now, realized that the Lord was going to take care of him. He had said in 1 Samuel chapter 26, in verse 23, the Lord render to every man his righteousness and his faithfulness. For the Lord delivered thee into my hand today, but I would not stretch forth my hand against the Lord's anointed. And behold, as thy life was much set by this day in mine hand, or in mine eyes, so let my life be much set by in the eyes of the Lord, and let him deliver me out of all tribulation. All right, so when David had finished up the last encounter with Saul, he was absolutely confident that the Lord was the one that was going to take care of him. But you know what? He was getting worn out. He had had enough javelins thrown at him. He had had enough trouble. He had had enough near misses with Saul twice in caves and once at Keilah. He said, you know what? I got to leave. I can't take this anymore. And so he said in his heart, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul, which wasn't true. It wasn't true at all. The Lord was going to protect David at all costs. He was anointed to be the next king. But he got worn out. And when he got worn out, he took matters into his own hands and he stepped out from underneath God's hand. Now, you know something? In your life, there are going to be times, and there may be a time right now, when you are ready to take matters into your own hands. Okay? And when you do that, there are some things that you are going to experience that are not going to go well for you. And you already may be at some point along the way with some of these very things that happened to David. And if you are, then we have a recommendation for you that will keep you from suffering as much as David suffered when he took matters into his own hands. He said, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul, which wasn't true. And so he said, I'm going to go. I'm going into the land of the Philistines. I should speedily escape into the land of the Philistines. Verse 2, 1 Samuel 27, David arose, he, and he passed over with 600 men that were with him unto Achish, the son of Maok, king of Gath. These are enemies of the Lord. And David dwelt with Achish at Gath, he and his men, every man with his household. Look, they took their wives, their children, their animals, everything they had. David with his two wives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess, and Abigail the Carmelitess, Nabal's wife. And it was told Saul that David was fled to Gath, and he sought no more again for him. So the plan that David organized was a workable plan. It was pragmatic. Okay? And more people today are concerned about a pragmatic plan than they are a spiritually practical plan. They would rather do something that they know is going to work, even though it is in their own hands than they would to put their faith in God. And so the first thing that you see when David steps out from under God's hands, when David takes matters into his own hands, he demonstrates a lack of faith. Now he is not living by faith. He is living by the sword. He is living by his own diplomacy. He's living on his own plan. He's living on his own thoughts. He's going his own way. And it's a very dangerous place for him to be. Up until now, he had put his faith in the Lord to protect him, and the Lord delivered him in every place. Remember when he was in Keilah? He was fenced in. And it was revealed to David that the men in Keilah were going to deliver him up to Saul, and that Saul was going to come down to get him. And so David had to escape. But you know something? The Lord gave David that protection. In this last chapter, in 1 Samuel chapter 26, when David and Abishai went down there to get the spear and the cruse that were next to Saul's bolster, the Lord put a sleep on every man that was with Saul, and there were 3,000 men there. And the Lord put a deep sleep on them, so that they were not aware that David and Abishai had come in there to get that spear and to get that cruse. You know what that is? That is the Lord's protection. That is the faith of David, knowing I do not have to lift up my hand against the Lord's anointed, because the Lord is going to take care of me. And suddenly he said, you know what? I'm tired of the way the Lord's taking care of me. I'm going to perish one day by the hand of Saul. He despairs of faith and puts his trust in himself. I'm going to tell you something. That is a very dangerous place for you to be. Right now you could be dealing with a situation in your life. You've been waiting on God. You've been praying. You have seen God manifest his hand in several things, but you're weary. You're discouraged. You are worn out. And when you get weary, and you get discouraged, and you get worn out, you know what happens? You're ready to throw off the problem. You can't take it anymore. You've had all you can stand. And though you say, I'm trusting God, in fact, you are taking back the reins and going your own way. Listen, anytime you take matters into your own hands, anytime you get out from under the Lord's hands, it's a lack of faith. And I tell you what, I would rather, having looked back over experiences in my life where something like this happened to me, I would much rather trust the Lord than to trust myself. No matter how weary, discouraged, or worn out you may feel. But listen, that's not the only problem. When David got out from under the protective hand of God, no longer was he walking in faith, but now he was relying upon self-provision. Relying upon self-provision. Look, in verse 5 of 1 Samuel chapter 27, David said unto Achish, if I have now found grace in thine eyes, let them give me a place in some town in the country, that I may dwell there. For why should thy servant dwell in the royal city with thee? Then Achish gave him Ziklag that day. Wherefore Ziklag pertaineth unto the kings of Judah unto this day. And the time that David dwelt in the country of the Philistines was a full year and 4 months. Question, how's David going to feed himself for a full year and 4 months? I mean, it's not just 600 men. They're there, every man with his household. David's got two wives there. There are children here. And the question is, where are they going to get the food? Well, verse 8, David and his men went up and invaded the Geshurites and the Gezrites and the Amalekites, for those nations were of old the inhabitants of the land, as thou goest to Shur, even unto the land of Egypt. So David had started out in Gath, which is in the land of the Philistines, which would be between the Mediterranean Sea and the land of Israel. And then he moves into Ziklag, and when he moves into Ziklag, in order to get something to eat, he has to spoil his enemies. Well, he can't go north, and he can't go east, or he's going to be fighting against Israel. and Judah. So he heads south like he's going to Shur, like he's going back toward Egypt, and he fights against the inhabitants of the land there. Verse 9, 1 Samuel 27:9. David smote the land and left neither man nor woman alive, and took away the sheep and the oxen and the asses and the camels and apparel, and returned and came to Achish. So what they had to do is they had to kill off a bunch of people in order to get the spoil that these folks had in order to live. He had to attack folks. And you know something? David hadn't always lived like that. One of the ways you know is that now we're jumping ahead and we're getting out there into 1 Samuel chapter 30. But when David and his men have to go and recover the stuff that was stolen from them at Ziklag later, he goes back and takes the spoil that he gets from these men that spoiled him, the Amalekites, and distributes it all over the southern part of Judah and all over places where people had taken care of him. He sent them a present. He sent them to Bethel, Ramoth, Jeter, Aroer, Shifmoth, Estemoah, Rachel, and the cities of the Jeramelites, and the cities of the Kenites, and them that were in Hormah, and Koreshen, and Atak, and Hebron. Why? Because the Bible says to all the places where David himself and his men were wont to haunt. People had been taking care of him. The Lord had used people in all those areas to give him something to take care of these men and their families. Don't you remember that episode that happened with Nabal, Abigail's husband? David and his men were a wall to those sheep shearers and kept people from stealing those sheep and felt that they were entitled to a gift. And so they approached Nabal, and Nabal said, "There are many servants that nowadays that escape from their masters. Why should I give my sheep and my whatever produce to David and his men?" And David was getting ready to go over there and kill him for that and take the stuff away from him, except Abigail intervened. And so you know from that that David and his men expected the people in that area to provide for them, because David and his men were protecting them. You know, later we're going to find that David's possessions are stolen from Ziklag because the Amalekites can come in there when David and his men are with the Philistines. And they steal everything that belongs to David. Well, that couldn't happen as long as David and his men were around. And so people in all these areas where he delivered the spoil were getting sort of like a military protection from David, and they were supplying him. The Lord was using them to take care of him. Now, self-provision. Now he's got to kill men and women and steal all their spoil and provide something for himself. Do you know something? When you get out from underneath the hand of God and take matters into your own hands, you're going to find that it is harder for you to take care of your financial obligations than it was when you were trusting the Lord. As a general rule, you're going to have to scrape together harder. Things that God used to protect for you are going to start breaking. You're going to have more car repairs. You might have a legal bill. You may have a medical bill. You may have more house repairs. You may have more fluke incidents. Now, I'm not saying that it happens every time, but I've heard many, many people testify that once upon a time they were faithful to go to church, they were faithful to be raising their children in Sunday school, and something happened that wore them out, that discouraged them, like David got discouraged, and they lost some faith in the ability of God to take care of them, stepped away from a life of service and fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, took matters into their own hands, and the next thing you know, after a couple of years, debts are up, health is gone, trouble. Now listen, not everybody that's experiencing trouble, not everybody that's seeing an increase in, you know, financial difficulties, is out of the will of God. I don't mean to suggest that. Nor do I mean to suggest that those exact things are going to happen to you. But I'm going to tell you something. When you have to provide for yourself, it is harder than when you're being taken care of by the Lord. The Bible says, "My God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus." And I'll guarantee you, He can provide those a whole lot better than you can. You'll be tireder and more worn out and more discouraged providing for yourself than you were when the Lord was taking care of you. All right, here's something else. David went out from under God's hand, took matters into his own hands, went down to Achish, who is an enemy of Israel because they are the Philistines down there, demonstrating a lack of faith, walking by sight, relying upon self-provision and covering his tracks with lies. Covering his tracks with lies. Look at this. There's no way that David could let anybody live in the places that he was destroying. Because if word got back to Achish that he was killing these people who were at peace with the Philistines at this time, he would have lost his favor with Achish. So in 1 Samuel chapter 27, verse 10, when Achish said, "Whither have you made a road today?" In other words, where you've been fighting, David said, "Against the south of Judah." That was a lie. "And against the south of the Jerahmeelites." That's a lie. The Jerahmeelites are people where he'd been hanging out that had kind of been taking care of him. "And against the south of the Kenites." That was a lie. The Kenites are Moses' kin, and they're some of the ones that get part of the spoil when David recovers everything after Ziklag in 1 Samuel chapter 30. These are not people that he was fighting against. These are people that had been taking care of him. But he had to say that lie because he couldn't let Achish know that he was fighting against people that had somewhat of a peaceful relationship with the Philistines. Verse 11, "David saved neither man nor woman alive to bring tidings to Gath, saying, lest they should tell on us, saying, so did David, and so will be his manner all the while he dwelleth in the country of the Philistines." Verse 12, "And Achish believed David." It was a lie, "saying, he hath made his people Israel utterly to abhor him, therefore he shall be my servant forever." Well, that's of course exactly what David wanted Achish to believe, that he had lost favor with Saul and with the people of Israel, and that he was going to be a loyal servant with Achish all that time. He had to lie to protect himself. You know something? That's not like David at all. The only other time you see David having to do something to cover up one of his faults is that situation with Bathsheba when she gets pregnant and then Uriah the Hittite has to die in 2 Samuel. What a horrible situation. David does not do well when he's lying. And you know something? When you decide to get out from underneath the hand of God and take matters into your own hands, you will lie to the brethren as well. People will say, "How are you doing?" And you know what you'll say? "I'm doing fine." They'll say, "How are things going in your business?" And you'll say, "Things have never been better." And people will come to you and they'll say, "How are things in your family?" And you say, "Well, my wife and I are getting along fine." And all of those things are going to be a lie. And they'll say, "How are things going with the kids?" And you'll say, "Well, the kids are doing fine." And you'll know that the kids are out of the will of God. And I'm not saying that just because your kids are out of the will of God that you've taken matters into your own hands. I realize people that faithfully serve the Lord have that difficulty. Samuel's kids didn't serve the Lord well. But you know something? In your case, you have to analyze and say, did I step out from underneath the provision of God's hand? Have I taken matters into my own hands? No wonder things are going awry with my kids. Things are failing in my marriage. Things in my business are not as good as I say they are, and I'm not doing well. I'm out of fellowship with God. But you'll lie. You'll lie to make it look good so that people will think everything is fine. And that's what David had to do. These things that you're seeing here, David lacking faith, David providing for himself by killing off these women and men and taking this spoil, David lying to cover his tracks, those things are so out of character for David. But look, that's not all. David, by getting out from under God's hand, also made an unholy alliance. He wanted Achish to believe that he was going to be his servant. Achish believed David, saying, "He hath made his people Israel utterly to abhor him. Watch it. Therefore he shall be my servant forever." And I'll tell you something. You'll put yourself in a situation when you do what David did, well, you will put yourself in alliances with people that are not God's people, borrowing money from them and depending upon them in certain business deals and entangling yourself with the affairs of this life just to keep things going. David was no more the servant of Achish than a man in the moon. You're going to see in 2 Samuel that David fights the Philistines just like Israel has had to fight them all the way back through the times of the judges. And here, he has an alliance with this king that this king believes is a genuine alliance. Can you imagine? Listen, if this little trick that David pulled had worked, and at the hand of Achish, Saul had actually died while David was protecting Achish, David would have been very hard-pressed to end up on the throne of Saul if he had been in the battle with the enemy that was responsible for his death. You talk about an unholy alliance. That's unbelievable. But that's not all. Keep reading. In chapter 28, in verse 1, it came to pass in those days, the Philistines gathered their armies together for warfare to fight with Israel. And Achish said unto David, Know thou assuredly that thou shalt go with me to battle, thou and thy men. And David said to Achish, Surely thou shalt know what thy servant can do. And Achish said to David, Therefore will I make thee keeper of mine head forever. You know what he's like? The personal bodyguard. He and his men are like the secret service, the royal honor guard. Unbelievable. You know what David did? He ended up making himself an enemy of God's people. Unbelievable. Listen. Look in chapter 29. And look at verse 1. The Philistines gathered together all the armies to Aphek, and the Israelites pitched by a fountain which is in Jezreel, and the lords of the Philistines passed on by hundreds, by thousands, but David and his men passed on in the rearward with Achish. Unbelievable. Now, you know what? In verse 3 of 29, the princes of the Philistines said, What do these Hebrews here? And Achish said unto the princes of the Philistines, Is not this David, the servant of Saul, the king of Israel, which hath been with me these days or these years, and I found no fault in him since he fell unto me unto this day. The prince of the Philistines were wroth with him. And the prince of the Philistines said unto him, Make this fellow return, that he may go again to his place, which thou hast appointed him. And let him not go down with us to battle, lest in the battle he be an adversary to us. For wherewith should he reconcile himself unto his master? Should it not be with the heads of these men? Is not this David of whom they sang one to another in dances, saying, Saul slew his thousands, and David his 10,000s? So you know what Achish did? He said to David, Sorry, pal. I want you to go with me, but the Lords won't stand for it. Go back to Ziklag. Do you understand that he made himself, at that point, he had made himself an enemy to God's people? He had to side with Achish against the anointed of the Lord and his own people. And if it hadn't been for the lords of the Philistines and God intervening through their counsel, David would have been in the fight against Saul and Jonathan, his sworn best friend. Let me tell you something. I bet you right now, when you took matters into your own hands and got out from under God's hand, that you became an enemy of some of God's people. That's right. You don't want to admit it, but you have. You've said bad and disparaging things about your former pastor. You have bitterness in your heart toward some of the blood-bought children of God. You've done things to separate people from other people that are Christians because you've taken matters into your own hands. And you wanted your way. And you know something? In having made yourself an enemy to God's people, in essence, you've made yourself an enemy to God. David, had he gone through with this, would have been in part responsible for the death of Saul when Saul died in this battle and would have violated what he said when he said, I'm not going to raise my hand against the Lord's anointed, but he was giving support to those who did. You ever been there? You might be there right now. Well, let me hurry. When David went out from under the protective hand of God and went to Achish, took matters into his own hands, you know what resulted? Greater damage than if he had stayed with God. Rushing through this now, when David gets back to Ziklag in chapter 30, the Amalekites had invaded the land. Their city was burned, their wives and their children and all of their possessions were stolen. So in an attempt to save his own neck, he put the lives of all of his men and all of their families and all of their possessions on the line. The outcome with the damage of Ziklag was greater than the outcome had he stayed under the protective hand of God. And I'm going to tell you something. You keep going the way you're going, the outcome is going to be worse than what you ran to cover. Now, in David's case, in 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 6, he encouraged himself in the Lord, and the Lord returned to protect him, and David and his men recovered the stolen possessions, and everything worked out fine in the end. You what? Encourage yourself in the Lord right now. Get back under his hand. He can work out the problems.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. If you would like more information about our broadcast ministry or Bible Believers Baptist Church, we have two websites that are available to help you. For rebroadcast of our radio messages or for answers to nearly 200 of the most commonly asked Bible questions from our listeners, go to www.unknownbible.com. That's www.unknownbible.com. For information about our church and for an abundance of both Sunday school and Bible study material, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's www.my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. That's 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you. In the meantime, stay tuned each weekday afternoon at 4 p.m. right here on KCTA for The Unknown Bible.
Hallelujah.